Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Kimei Tseischa. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Yer Aleph Nisan, which is the birthday of the Rebbe, in the year Tafshin Mem Beis, 41 years ago, and the Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the Rebbe's birthday, Yer Aleph Nisan, in the year Tafshin Mem Zayin, 36 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in the prophet where it says, Kimei Tseischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Arenu Niflois, where Hashem says, just like the days when you went out of Egypt, you're going to see miracles in the future when Mashiach comes. So the Rebbe said it's known, the question that the Zohar asks, which is brought down in the Chassidic discourse from the Chabad Rebbeim. So the verse says, Kimei, like the days of going out of Egypt. In other words, like the days is plural. Now the fact is, we went out of Egypt in one day. What's this idea of multiple days? And we know specifically when it comes to remember going out of Egypt, so the Torah says clearly, Zachar, you should remember as Hayoyim Hazeh. You should remember this day that you went out of Egypt. Or for example, there's another verse that says, Laman Tiska Shrei, you should remember as Yoyim, the day of going out of Egypt. So the question is, why in the prophet does he say, Kimei, like the days, multiple days of going out of Egypt, when in reality was what? It was only one day. The Rebbe goes on to ask another question. We also have to understand in the context of the verse where it says, Kimei Tseischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim, like the days of going out of Egypt, I'll show you wonders in the future. In other words, what does it mean simply? That the redemption, the future redemption, which is going to happen, like the Rebbe says, very, very soon with Mashiach Tzidkenu, is going to be in a way of tremendous wonders, just like the wonders when we went out of Egypt. So the Rebbe says, one second, that doesn't make sense. It's brought down in many verses and in different rabbinic teachings, Chazal teachings, that specifically their future redemption, that's going to be the complete redemption. Because we know once Mashiach comes, in the future redemption, there's not going to be exile anymore. However, from the exile we were in Egypt, when we went out, unfortunately, we're still in Galus. So in other words, what is a greater redemption? The redemption of the future is much greater than going out of Egypt. Because out of Egypt, we went out, but we're back in Galus. Versus that redemption is going to be a complete redemption. And that's one of the reasons why, that according to one opinion, we do not mention the whole idea of going out of Egypt when Mashiach comes. And even according to the opinion, and it's because Mashiach is a much greater redemption, but even according to the opinion that we do mention going out of Egypt when Mashiach comes, you need to have a special teaching to teach us that. So what does it mean? Well, just like we went out of Egypt, I'm going to show you wonders in the future. In other words, that What's going to be like when Mashiach comes is going to be wonders like going out of Egypt. Going out of Egypt is like a baby redemption. The Mashiach, the future is the great redemption. Okay, so that's the second thing we have to understand. More than that, Rebbe says, if you look at the verse itself, what does it say? Just like the days of going out of Egypt, I will show you wonders in the future. In other words, what it's saying really is that where's the real wonders? Going out of Egypt. That's the beginning, and that's the source of all the wonders. And Mashiach comes is going to be a spin-off of that. So in other words, that what's the real quality? Going out of Egypt, and not the future redemption, when the fact is just the opposite. Shrebbe says as follows. The point of the explanation is that this verse in the prophet, where it says, like the days of going out of Egypt, I will show you wonders in the future, there's two ways to understand it. One, that the future redemption is going to be just like the same redemption went out of Egypt. In other words, that when Mashiach comes, there's also going to be wonders just like we went out of Egypt. That's the one way to look at the verse. Ki mei tseischa me'eretz Mitzrayim arenu niflois. We went out of Egypt, God showed us wonders. In the future, God's going to take us out of this exile and show us wonders, and both technically the same. That's one way. What's another way to look at it? No. That the wonders that's going to be when Mashiach comes are going to be so great, even compared to the tremendous wonders when we went out of Egypt. Yes, we went out of Egypt, tremendous wonders. But the wonders of the future is going to be much greater. In other words, even though that the, in generally speaking, the wonders of when Mashiach comes is going to be similar to the wonders that we went out of Egypt, like the literal verse means, but nevertheless, it's going to be an upgrade in the tremendous wonders that up to the point that the wonders what's going to be like when Mashiach is going to be so far greater than the wonders when we went out of Egypt. So that's the second insight. And what does that mean? So the first insight, the way the verse is that the wonders going out of Egypt, when Mashiach comes, it's technically the same thing. The second is no. Yes, tremendous wonders you went out of Egypt. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be even greater. Now, what is it going to be greater? So he explains. What is the quality of the miracles and the wonders that's going to be when Mashiach comes over what the wonders and the miracles that took place when we went out of Egypt? So he explains as follows. We know that when the Jewish people were in Egypt, we were, unfortunately, we sunk on a spiritual level very, very low. And Hashem had to take us out, like it's brought down, from 49 levels of impurity. And that's why, since we were so low, we were so sunk, so low, and it was 49, Hashem had to literally yank us out from 49 levels of impurity. That's why, after God took us out of Egypt, what did we start doing? We counted Sefiras HaOmer. And every single day of counting the Omer, we went out from one of the levels of impurity. Now, how did God pull us out? From the 49 levels of impurity, he pulled us out because he drew in 50 levels through the gate of Bina. So he used 50 powerful levels from the gate of Bina to pull us out from our 49 levels of impurity. Now, so how did God pull us out? By bringing in the 50 levels of Bina. And that's why in the Torah, it mentions, this is fascinating, in the Torah it mentions going out of Egypt how many times? 50 times. And each one is for one of the levels of the Shari Bina. So in the Torah, if you give a look in there, you count how many times it says going out of Egypt, it's 50. Why 50? Because each one of the 50 is one of the gates of Bina that was yanking us out and pulling us out from the 49 levels of impurity. Now, we know in the 50 levels of Bina, there's many, many levels. And it's actually called 50 gates of Bina. Now, all these 50 gates of Bina, they come through which one of the Sefirot? So you have the 10 Sefirot. So we're dealing with 50 gates of Bina, but the way they all come through the last Sefirah of Malchus. And that's why from the side of Bina, it comes into Malchus. That's the way it comes through. Obviously, in a higher level, they have Bina the way it's in its place, of Bina itself. Higher than that, you have the way the 50 levels exist in Keter, in the higher sphere, and in Keter itself, you have the way it's in Atik. So basically, before we go forward, so when we were in Egypt, we sunk very, very low. What pulled us out? The 50 levels of Bina, the way it came into Malchus. And again, Bina, it came through Malchus, even though Bina is on the level of Bina, and the way Bina is in Keter and Atik. But that, based on this, he explains, that's why the revelation is going to take place. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be so much greater than the revelation that took place when we went out of Egypt. Why? Because the 50 levels of Bina, the way they came to pull us out of Egypt, they're the gates of Bina, and also the gates, the way they went through Malchus. So they were a little like, they were diffused a little bit. However, when Mashiach comes, you're going to have the 50 gates of Bina, not the way it's coming through Malchus, not even the way it's in Bina itself, but the way it's in its source, in Keser, directly from Keter, from Atik, that's what's going to pull us out. Not only that, even from Keser itself, we said there's two levels, there's Atik and Arik, it's going to be coming from the level of Atik. And not only from Atik, the Rebbe says, it's coming from the primius Atik, from the eternal part of Atik. And like it says clearly in reference to Mashiach, the prophets say, Hine Yaskil Abde Yorum V'Nosa V'Gav Moed. It's going to be a very, very high level. And he uses the term Moed, very, in reference of Mashiach. And Moed is referring to primius Atik. And like it says in Pri Yetz Chaim from the Zohar, that all the energy that come today comes only from where? From Chitzoini Asatik, the external part of Atik. However, Mashiach comes, it's going to be, the revelation is going to take place where? From Pnimi Asatik. So in other words, What are we saying here? So according to the second opinion, yeah, when we went out of Egypt, tremendous wonders. God pulled us out with the 50 gates of Bina, but the way Bina was in Malchus. However, when Mashiach comes, we're going to have the 50 gates of Bina, but the way they're resourced in Keter, and in Attic, and Pnimius Attic. But nevertheless, so even though it's so high, but it still compares the tremendous wonders, which are going to be like when Mashiach comes, to the wonders when we went out of Egypt. And like the simple understanding of the verse is that in the ultimate redemption, there's going to be tremendous wonders, just like we went out of Egypt. Why? Because the fact is, when we went out of Egypt, there was tremendous revelations. And like the Rebbe Rashab explains in his classic Hasidic discourse in the year of Tafresh Ayin Beis, and based on the verse that it says, that when we went out of Egypt, it says, Nigla, Leia, Melech, Malchem, Lachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Koyti Ba'atzmai. Hashem himself took us out of Egypt. In other words, if it's talking about the Hashem, his honor and his essence, obviously it's high levels. But nevertheless, the revelation when we went out of Egypt, all these, the essence of Hashem came through Malchus. Like it says clearly, Pesach Hashem ala Pesach. Pesach is called Pesach because God skipped over the doorpost. Now, that's literally the doorpost. And we know Pesach, the doorpost, is referring to the sphere of Malchus. However, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be without any garments. Like it says, Le'ikonef Oid Marecha, there's not going to be any levels of Bina, Malchus. It's going to come directly from Hashem, from Keter, from Attic. So what did we just learn? We just learned that basically, that when we went out of Egypt, there was one level. And according to the first opinion, the same when Mashiach comes. And the second opinion is, no, we went out of Egypt. Yes, it was the 50 gates of being that pulled us out, but through Malchus. However, when Mashiach comes, it's going to come from Keter, Attic, and Pnimius Attic. So if that's the case, based on the second opinion, the way we understand, we just learned. So if that's the case, why does the verse say, Ki meit seis chum eretz, like the days we went out of Egypt, I'm going to show you wonders in the future. Like, why is he comparing the two? We went out of Egypt, it was great, it was wonderful, it was amazing, but it was only Bina went through Malchus. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be much greater. So why is the verse even comparing the two? That's question number one. More than that, if you don't understand. According to the opinion, that we do mention going out of Egypt when Mashiach comes. So seemingly, since the revelation of Mashiach comes, is going to be much higher, so why even mentioning going out of Egypt? So Rebbe says it's known the explanation, like to explain at length in the Hasidic discourse of the previous Rebbe with this same title, Ki Meitzeis Chumer Yisrayim, and this is like one of the main points of the Hasidic discourse, that when we went out of Egypt, what happened there was a new breakthrough. A breakthrough in redemption. In other words, when we were in Egypt, we were stuck. We were in exile. What happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim? There was a breakthrough. Redemption is possible. And because redemption became possible and there was an actual redemption, that opened the floodgates of all the redemptions. Any redemption from any exile since then, its source is from the energy of the initial redemption that took place in Egypt. Even this powerful revelation that's going to take place when Mashiach comes, where it's going to be off the charts, directly from Attic, Pnimius Attic, etc. It all sourced, it all started where? When we went out of Egypt. So even though technically there's going to be a greater revelation, there's going to be a greater redemption, but where did it all start? It all started when we went out of Egypt. So in other words, the source of redemption, the source of freedom, the source of Geula comes from where? Comes from we went out of Egypt. And like the Rebbe explains, like it's known that we went out of Egypt, it means we experienced freedom, we experienced redemption. That was a preparation for us receiving the Torah, Matan Torah. Like it says clearly in the Torah, God says, when I'm going to take you out of Egypt, what's going to happen? You're going to go ahead and you're going to serve God on the mountain. You're going to receive the Torah. In other words, when did the real redemption happen? The real redemption and the real freedom happened at Matan Torah, where we connected to God. In other words, why is that? Because the fact is, before Matan Torah, there was a decree. spirituality was on high, godliness was on high, and this world was this world down here. You know, it was like the expression is El Yoinim Lo Yedol Zachtoinim, but Zachtoinim Lo Yel El Yoinim. There was a division. So that's not freedom. Freedom is what? We're free and we have no connection with God. So it's self understood that up until Matan Torah, even after you went out of Egypt, that wasn't the ultimate redemption. And that wasn't our ultimate freedom. But nevertheless, when we went out of Egypt, we received the power for the redemption that ultimately was going to be the nullification of the decree, and therefore high and low could be connected, which happened later on in Matan Torah. So the same thing also applies in reference to the future redemption, that at the redemption and the freedom that took place and went to Egypt, that's when we received the power for the ultimate redemption. Why is that? Because when we receive the Torah from Hashem, we already had a taste of what it's going to be like when Mashiach comes. But what happened was, when we received the Torah from Hashem, the revelation was only for a short time when we received the Torah. However, when Mashiach comes, that's we're going to have the complete and everlasting true redemption. Because because then, when Mashiach comes, the revelation is not going to be just because, like a Mount Sinai, where God came down on Mount Sinai, but the world is going to be ready. When Mashiach comes, the world is going to realize that God is that Hashem Olakim. In other words, we're going to be totally transformed, and we're totally going to be refined, and we're going to be a vessel for the revelation of godliness. We will have the power with our finite intellect to understand and comprehend God as much as we're possible. And that's called Atar Shlim, where it's totally complete, where we're ready to receive the infinite power of God into our finite capabilities. So in other words, the Rebbe is explaining over here as follows. And this is an important point. That going out of Egypt was the opening for all redemptions. And so even though later on when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a much greater redemption, but it all started when we went out of Egypt. Just like there gives the example that the ultimate redemption when we went out of Egypt wasn't complete yet. We had to go to Matan Torah. We had to receive the Torah. But since we were going to Matan Torah and it all started from there, we give full credit to the original redemption that took place by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now the Rebbe is going to explain beautifully. That's why it says Kimei. What was the original question in the Chassidic discourse? Why does it say Kimei Tzeis Chalek, like multiple days going out of Egypt? We only went out of Egypt in one day. Why does it say plural? Because all the days from the first minute we left Egypt up until the ultimate redemption, which is going to happen very, very soon, those are all going out of Egypt. Like he explains at length in the Chassidic discourse. So now we see why it says Kimei. Kimei means we went out once. Yes, that's correct. But we're still going out of Egypt until we receive the ultimate redemption of Mashiach comes. In other words, this that we went out of Egypt, it opened up the floodgates of redemption then, but also the redemption of the future. So the way it works is literally every single day, starting from when we went out of Egypt up until the ultimate redemption, we are experiencing going out of Egypt on a higher level, up until we reach the highest level in the future when Mashiach comes. In other words, and never explains as follows. We know what it says in Chazal, that every generation, and every single day, so every generation and every single day, a person is obligated to see and experience as if you are going out of Egypt today. Not just we went out of the past. No, every generation, every day, we have to feel like we're going out of Egypt, we're coming free. In other words, every single day, we have to release ourselves from what's holding us back from being slaves and being limited and being finite, not being able to have total freedom. And especially, when do we do this? So when we pray, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So we know the powerful teaching of the Alter Rebbe, that the reason why they established in the prayers the section of going out of Egypt in Shema, because saying Shema, where you have one God, and going out of Egypt, it's really, really one. And that's why in the spiritual work of saying Shema, we have Krishma. We don't only do it in the morning. We also do it in the evening when we pray as well. Why do we do it as well in the evening? Because the Rambam writes, the reason why we also say in Shema, this section about tzitzis, at night as well. The question, what do you mean? At night, you don't put on, there's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at night. The mitzvah is to wear it by day. We wear it, this to make a disclaimer, we wear it 24/7, we wear tzitzis. But the mitzvah is by day. So why do we say the mitzvah tzitzis by night? Because the fact is, it has in it the remembrance of going out of Egypt. And that's why it says, ki meit seis chomeret Mitzrayim, like multiple days going out of Egypt, multiple, even though we went out once. Because when we mention going out of Egypt every single day, twice a day in our prayers and Shema, so even though it happened once in the past, but through when we say and we read about going out of Egypt, it creates a going out of Egypt every single day for us. Every single day we have to release ourselves from what's holding us back from living a free and happy life. That literally every single day we have to go out from things that's holding us back, and we have to become freer and freer and happier and holier, etc. And the Rebbe says in a beautiful way, and he says, when you set yourself up in a way of uforatzta, in other words, you want to totally break through any boundary that's holding you back from living a free and a happy life, and you do it without any calculations, without any limits, up until we come to the ultimate uforatzta. We're able to spread out in a complete way with the true and complete redemption through Mashiach, as where it says, Allah ha-peretz l'faneinu, he's going to come along and break any boundary that's holding us back from living truly as free people. And that's why it's known and it says that Mashiach, who's Mashiach? Mashiach is Ben David. And what's the signs of Mashiach? That he's someone that's going to learn Torah, and he's going to be busy doing mitzvahs just like his father, King David, and he's going to fight the wars of Hashem. And we know King David comes from the children of Peretz. And what's the idea of Peretz? Because Peretz is my Peretz Lacha Peretz. The idea is to break all boundaries. Break all boundaries from holding you back from living an infinite and powerful life. So in other words, what's the Rebbe saying over here, before we go forward, that the whole idea of going out of Egypt is not just once in the past. Every single day we have to come freer. And that's why we say Shema every single day. And we have to experience in a real way. Now we understand why it says Kimei Tzeis Chomeret Mitzrayim. Because even though we went out once, which is correct, and that was the opening. But seriously, every single day we have to experience in a real practical way going out of Egypt and becoming free people. Now, this schedule of redemption, which started when we went out of Egypt literally, and it continues when we say Shema, and we read about going out of Egypt, till the ultimate redemption where Mashiach comes. So we have that literally in our daily schedule. Every single day we go through the beginning of going out of Egypt, and then the process throughout our life, and then when Mashiach comes. So whatever it says, we have this every single day in our life. What do we have it every day in our life? Because what happens is, in the beginning of the day, before we pray, we get up in the morning. Before we start praying, a person is in Mitzrayim. We're in Mitzrayim. We're in Egypt. Every single day we're in Egypt. What does that mean? Because you have a neshama. The neshama wants to cleave to God. It wants to pray. It wants to study. It wants to do mitzvahs. It doesn't want to have any limits. But unfortunately, the way God made it, the soul is locked up in a physical body. So it's constrained and it's limited. And the Torah brings the verse that says, Chidlu lochem in Adam asher neshama ba'apoi. In other words, that look at the soul, which is bameh, and don't read bameh, but read a bama, an altar. In other words, that what happens in the beginning of the day, the soul is only within you, and it hasn't spread out all over the whole body, and therefore you consider like a bama, which means you have all the constraints and all the limitations of the body. So when this day starts the neshama is connecting to God, but the body doesn't feel it. The body doesn't feel the excitement of godliness. So therefore, what's the first step every single day that we need to do? The first step every single day, we have to practice, which is a Kabbalistic, the Kabbalistic tools we know, we have to practice eskafia. What means eskafia? Practicing restraint, which means you're restraining from limiting yourself to the physical and coarse part of your body, and your animal soul, and the opposition of godliness. Up to the point that we affect that even that the body and the animal soul should say amen against its will. Because the body and the animal soul wants to go back to sleep. Doesn't want to go to shul. Doesn't want to say amen. And the godly soul has to create restraint on the animal, on the body and the animal, so that it should say amen. And not only it should say amen, but it should also help in serving God. Even if it's only in the level of the Eskafia. But guess what? That's the first level. So the first level from going out of Egypt every day is practicing Eskafia. If you want to go out of Egypt, Eskafia. You have to practice restraint. Then, that's phase number one. But then you have to come to the level of Eskafia. You have to do transformation. And this happens in a way that, as it says, V'libi chalal b'kirbi, which means my heart was totally transformed. And then you come to the level of lahaf to shom lekecha, you love God, your God, and you have to love him b'chol levavcha. And it says, doesn't say libcha, but one heart, but two hearts, which means that the godly soul and the animal soul is transformed to good, to godliness. Just like when a person does complete tshuva, complete repentance. What type of repentance? A repentance out of love. When a person returns to God out of love, then even the things he did wrong become good. Up to the point they literally become good. In other words, so every single day we go through, we start out, we're in prison, we practice Eskafia, and then we practice Eskafka. First we practice restraint, and then the goal is that the body and the animal soul is saying amen, and it's excited about God, and excited about godliness, excited about learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Now these two components that we do every single day, Eskafia, restraint, and his Hapka transformation, that's similar to the redemption of going out of Egypt and the future redemption. What's the connection? Because when we went out of Egypt the first time, what does it say? Ki baruch ha, we have to run away. Why? Because the fact is, the evil, the negativity was very, very strong. And we were excited about it. We liked it. Well, unfortunately, we were 49 levels of impurity. So we couldn't go ahead and transform Egypt. We have to run away from Egypt. What does that mean? When we left Egypt, that's the avoid of Eskafia, practicing restraint, staying away from the negativity. So that's the first level. What happens when the future Mashiach comes? Then the prophets say God's going to wipe away all the impurity from the earth. Up to the point, there's no more Yetzirah. Not only that, but the evil, the negative, is going to be transformed to good. Just like we say in the Shema, which means we're both hearts. And like the prophets say clearly, when Mashiach comes, when Mashiach comes, the whole world is going to reach out to Hashem. And those, even the nations of the world are going to be transformed to serve Hashem. Like it says clearly, even strangers are going to come and take care of your sheep. They're going to connect to Hashem. And the same thing also, it's going to be with animals as well. Like that God says, not only in reference to the human race, in reference to animals, God says, "Vishpati chaya roman arts." There's not going to be any wild or dangerous animals. There's not going to be anyone doing any damage, any harm. Even though you're going to have wild animals, but they're not going to do any harm. And not only they're not going to do any harm, but they're actually going to help us in serving Hashem. Like it says clearly in the prophets, the Gorzev and Keves, right? The wolf is going to lie with the lamb, and the lion with the smaller animals. In other words, there's going to be a tremendous help from the wild animals, just like you have from the tame animals, up to the point that even the snake is going to be a big assistant. In other words, not only the snake is going to serve Hashem, but it's going to be in a way of a big way that's going to serve Hashem. So what the Rebbe is saying is like this, that basically every single day we go through out of Egypt. We get up. First thing is the godly soul wants to cleave. You have a body. You have an animal soul. You have to deal with. So we practice Eskafia and then Eshapcha. So these two components, just like when we went out of Egypt. When we went out of Egypt, Eskafia, we had to restrain because we were excited. We weren't able to transform it. However, Mashiach comes, it's going to be totally transformed. Then the avodah is going to be what a level of Eskafia. Now, so you're going to say, one second, what is a higher avodah? Eskafia or Eshapcha? Obviously, Eskafia is a much higher avodah. Why? Because Eskafia means you're practicing restraint. You don't have the animal soul on board yet. You don't have the body on board yet. Eshapcha means the animal soul is on board. Not only it's on board, it's actually helping out. But nevertheless, even though we just realize that Eshapcha is so strong, but there is a certain power and a certain quality in Iskafkia, the power to hold, to practice restraint, higher than Ishapcha. Where, how is that? And the Rebbe brings what the author writes in Tanya, he says like this. There's something which is called, the author gives a definition of someone that's Oyved Elokim. What is Oyved Elokim? You're serving God. Serving God comes when you force yourself and you change your nature. And this quality of forcing yourself and changing your nature, which is basically a skafia, a tzaddik doesn't have it. Because a tzaddik doesn't have a struggle. He doesn't have a challenge that he has to practice a skafia. But on the other hand, when a person practices a skafia, practice restraint, what happens then? What does it say in the Zohar? Istalik yikara de kutra bricha de kol almin. The powerful level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to come into the world through what? Through the avoid of a skafia. And as we have the power to bring in the power, the infinite light of Hashem, which is on a very, very high level. I'd like to explain at length in the Chassidic discourse of the Friedrich Rebbe, and he gives an example of a king of flesh and blood, a mortal king, that in order to go ahead and be successful in the war, so all of a sudden all the treasures that he was holding for years come out. In a normal life, a normal situation, not only doesn't he use it, but they're hidden. No one even knows that they exist. You can't even see it. But all of a sudden, there's a war. Not only does he allow you to see it, he actually uses it. And there's no limit. You can have as much as you want. And what, not only he uses it, but he actually gives it to the soldiers. The soldiers, they can use it to be successful in the war. What does that mean practically? That's the mashal. It means very, very simple. The treasures that are hidden that nobody sees, like it says in the prophets, Ayin Leirasa Lekimzul Asecha, no eye saw it besides Hashem. But in order to overpower the Yetzer Hara, and we do the Avodah of Iskafia, we're overwinning the Yetzer Hara, then we receive this treasure. And not only we receive it with an abundance. And we receive it, all these simple soldiers receive it. Why is that? Since these soldiers work in a way of Mesiras Nefesh, above, without any limits, so therefore they receive these powerful treasures, they receive these powerful treasures. So you see that even though it's Tapcha we originally learned, it's much higher, right? It creates a transformation. But his Skafia is much stronger. And when a person practices Skafia, Hashem brings down a Stalik and Karbich, a much powerful level of Kadosh Baruch Hu into this world. So now we'll see why. When Mashiach comes in the future, we're going to be in this high level of Ishapcha. We still mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because even though the revelations that are going to take place when Mashiach comes are much higher, it's Ishapcha. But nevertheless, in order to get the treasure, you need it from the people that are to win the war. And when Mashiach comes, there's not going to be any war because the fact is God's going to take away the spirit of impurity. So therefore, we're going to mention going out of Egypt so that we can also draw in the power of Iskafia, and which basically the power the Iskafia brings in this powerful treasure. And this bringing in the powerful treasure is going to be with full revelation, just like whatever is going to be in the future, where everything is totally revealed. So in other words, now we see why, even though Mashiach comes, why we think of Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim has the power of Iskafia, which brings in the treasure. Mashiach comes as Ishapcha, but nevertheless, there is a power in Iskafia that brings in the powerful treasures. And that's why it says, Ki Meitzescha, just like the days of going out of Egypt, I'm going to show you wonders. In other words, in the future redemption, you're going to have both qualities. You're going to have the quality of Iskafia, which is basically referenced by Kimetzes Kamar Yisrael, and you're going to have the quality of what is Hapcha, full transformation, running the flies. In other words, when we do our work in Galus, in exile, and as we know, generally, all the work that we do in Galus, in order to learn Torah, in order to pray, in order to do mitzvahs, there's so much distractions. It's not easy. It's very, very hard. So how do we do it? We do it with serious nefesh, self-sacrifice. And it's not like we make calculations, because if we make calculations, it's not going to happen. So they avoid that the work in Galus is serious nefesh without any calculations, without any limits. And why is that? Because in the time of Galus, and especially in the time before Mashiach comes, there are things that are holding us back, and there's a lot of challenges. Up to the greatest challenge, Rebbe says, is, like it's brought down in the beginning of the Code of Jewish Law, of not being embarrassed of people to make fun. The biggest challenge people have is the, you know, someone said and someone did, and what are people going to say and what are people going to think? So it creates a big challenge. But nevertheless, even with all the challenges and even the things that people are going to say, we don't get intimidated by all the things that are holding us back. And what do? We learn Torah, like we're learning right now. We're learning Torah, we're doing mitzvot, without any calculations. And like it's, it says that even the people that are totally like empty, so to speak, everyone is, has full of mitzvahs. Everybody has mitzvahs. In other words, not only that they observe mitzvahs, no, we, every person has tons of mitzvahs that they have. So when we do our avodah in galus, from Mesiras Nefesh, we go out of galus with tremendous wealth, spiritual wealth. The wealth of learning Torah, the wealth of doing mitzvahs, because the fact is, mitzvahs is that's the treasure, and learning Torah is a treasure, and learning Torah is also a mitzvah. And not only that, learning Torah is compared to all the mitzvahs. And since this tremendous treasure of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs adds in the merit, this hastens the achishana that Mashiach is going to come very, very quick. Up to the point that we're going to go v'oru manana shmaya, we're going to go on the powerful clouds to Eretz Yisrael. That very, very soon we're going to have the true redemption, the complete redemption. Up to the point ki made seis chameretz and shrayim. I read in the flight that we're going to have both qualities: the quality of the mesiras nefesh, the quality of eskafia, and the quality of eshavcha. And since the redemption comes through our work in galus, and especially when before Mashiach comes, so therefore we're going to have kimei tseis mitzrayim, like going out of Egypt, the quality of eskafia, practicing restraint, together with the quality of erenin aflois, the tremendous miracles and wonders, and even miracles and wonders greater than the wonders when we went out of Egypt, including the greater than the wonders that we experienced when Hashem split the sea by Kriyas Yamsuf. And even though when Hashem split the sea, there was powerful revelations that took place, because the fact is everyone was able to take with a finger, look, this is our God. And up to the point, as we know, it says that a maid wife saw on the sea, even prophets didn't see, but nevertheless, it was all weird on the Yam, on the sea. And we know the sea is connected to, this is a buzzword, like we learned in the beginning of the discourse, Malchus. So it all came through Malchus. And just like the revelation when we went out of Egypt, before Hashem split the sea, which was on the Pesach, on the door, we see again, it's all connected to Malchus. You see all the revelations of Egypt, where the door was Malchus, the Yam is again Malchus, even the revelation. It took place when Hashem split the sea, for a moment, because it all came from Hashem. It was a gift from on high, and we were in a vessel for it. And that's generally the avoid of eskafia. We practice restraint. There was no eshapcha there yet. Just like we went out of Egypt, we had to run away. And why is that? Because that came without our effort. It was a gift from Hashem. However, when Mashiach comes, we're going to have a ren and a flois. Hashem is going to show us tremendous wonders. Wonders even greater than the wonders of Yitzias Mitzrayim and splitting of the sea. Why? Because the revelation is going to be there without any garments. Not through Malchus, straight from Atik, Primius Atik. And it's also going to have the avoid of the Mata. We did our job. And together with that, we're going to have Kimeid, Seis, Chomeret, and Shrine. Together with the wonders of the future, we're going to have the wonders of going out of Egypt, Iskafia, Istali, Kar, Kubich, Chulalmin. And when is that going to happen? Heira, B'yameinu, Mamash. It's going to happen very, very soon, literally, the Bias, Mashiach, Titkenu, when Mashiach comes. So again, here we have another beautiful, powerful Chassidic discourse of the Rebbe, of literally our Avoida in Golas, how powerful it is. By us practicing the Iskafia and continuing to learn Torah and doing mitzvot, I'm praying when it's hard, we are creating the most powerful revelation in this world. And in Mitzvah Mashiach comes, we're going to have the greatest revelation, and we'll have the fusion of the two. So let's hope, like the Rebbe says at the end of the Chassidic discourse, let's hope it happens. V'heirav Yameinu Mamash, Mashiach will come, and our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov, and happy Pesach.